Grace, mercy, and peace are yours, from God our Father and from our coming King, our Lord Jesus Christ. Last week, as we began our Advent season, we began an 11-week run of lessons that come from the prophet Isaiah. Throughout the Advent season, the Christmas season, and the first couple of Sundays into Epiphany, our first lesson will be coming from chapters from Isaiah. And so you and I are going to take a few moments each week as we go through these 11 weeks to rejoice in Isaiah's gospel promises. Of all of those Old Testament prophets, Isaiah had some of the harshest warnings for God's people and some of the most beautiful promises that he gave to God's people. And so during the Advent season, we will be rejoicing in those promises made as we look forward to what is going to be coming as proclaimed by the prophet Isaiah. Once we get to Christmas, we rejoice that the promises are kept. Jesus kept every one of them that had been made. And as we move into Epiphany and Jesus begins to reveal himself as not just another little baby who had been born, but none other than the Son of God himself, we see those promises in action. This morning, as you and I focus our attention on Isaiah chapter 11, the first lesson that we read moments ago, you and I rejoice in those promises that are made. And today, as we think about Bethlehem, as we look ahead, you and I rejoice in this promise of a kingdom that's worth waiting for. To do that, we pick up on one of the last phrases of the lesson. Verse 10 tells us, "Seek the root of Jesse." Even that little phrase, had Isaiah not expanded at all, would remind us that he is a different kind of king, and he rules a different kind of kingdom. So those thoughts are going to guide us as you and I rejoice in what it means to seek the root of Jesse. He's a different kind of king. Isaiah began by taking us to a picture of a shoot and a branch. A shoot will spring up from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. There doesn't appear to be a lot of difference between the word shoot and the word branch. If there is any difference, the shoot is probably that initial growth, a little more tender. Branch has been growing a little bit longer, a little sturdier. But in either case, if you and I are going to be looking for a king, if we are going to be looking for someone with some power and might, perhaps a shoot or a branch is not what we're looking for. Especially when you see what it's growing out of. A stump. You walk up to a stump and that stump tells you that this is where a tree used to be. You can look at that stump and you can perhaps remember how much shade there used to be. Perhaps you remember with fond memories how many apples or pears or oranges you used to get off of that tree. But now it's nothing but a stump. Dead. Just there. Something to mow around, something to trip over, something to have to deal with. It is from that dead-looking source that Isaiah wants us to look forward to this coming kingdom. He reminds the people of Israel, even though David's kingdom is still functioning at the time of Isaiah, that there is going to be a time when even David's family line, despite the fact that God had said there would always be somebody on the throne, was going to at least look dead. And by the time the king arrives in Bethlehem, all the descendants of David can do nothing but talk about how the glory days used to be, because it looks just like a stump. But from what looks like it's dead comes a different kind of king. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He will be delighted with the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, nor will he render decisions based on what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the poor, and he will render fair decisions in favor of the oppressed on the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath from his lips he will put the wicked to death. Righteousness will be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his hips. Seek the root of Jesse. This stump is looking so dead, it's not even called the stump of David. It's called the stump of Jesse. He backs up one generation. And yet, when this root arrives, as you and I seek the root of Jesse, he's the one who is clothed with these gifts from the Holy Spirit. And you cannot help but think about Jesus' baptism. As he's there coming out of the water, the Spirit of God comes down in the form of a dove. God the Father says, "This is my Son. This is the one whom I love. This is the one you are supposed to be listening to." You think about all those gifts that the Spirit gave to this one-of-a-kind king. Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Not only does he know what God's will is, he knows how to handle it. He knows what to do with it. He knows how to put it into practice. This is the one who has the spirit of counsel and might. He's able to give advice. He knows the plan. He also has the might to carry out that plan. The spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He's experienced what the Lord is all about because this is a different kind of king. He is God. And so he knows what God wants. He knows what he wants. This is the one who was anointed with that precious spirit. And as he carries out his rule, he has a completely different focus. Much of those who are powerful in this world are interested in keeping that power, interested in making sure that others understand they have that power, interested in making sure that I receive the kind of honor and respect that my majesty demands. But Jesus, this root of Jesse, when he arrived, his focus was on the Lord's desire. His focus was on the Lord's will. That was his desire. That God gets the glory. That the Heavenly Father's plan is carried out. And so he does it with absolute righteousness, absolute perfection, absolute fairness. Everybody's on the same playing field. As he carries out his judgments, as he carries out his work, he doesn't content himself with just the superficial, making decisions based on what he sees with his eyes or on the things that he's hearing with his ears. But since righteousness and faithfulness characterizes what he's doing, he offers grace and mercy to the oppressed. He comes with judgment to the wicked. Carries out the work that he has been sent to do perfectly. Seek the root of Jesse. He's a different kind of king. He has a focus on eternity. Not so much this life. But his focus is on making sure all of us are ready for that amazing kingdom, this kingdom that we can hardly wait for, that's worth waiting for. He is setting it up. He will bring it to pass. And as you think about this one-of-a-kind king, different from all the others, there is one other difference. You think about most of the kings of this world, or any leader for that matter, and usually they become king because there is a group of people gathered in a certain location who need a leader. And in some form or another, someone finally becomes king. Either they're part of a more powerful family and they kind of rise to power and he becomes the king or is made king. Or perhaps he's a king of a different kingdom and he comes in and he takes over this area and he becomes their king. You've got the people already there looking for the leader. Someone becomes the king. Seek the root of Jesse. He's a different kind of king. When he was born in Bethlehem, he was born king. He is the king. He didn't have to wait for some group of people to come and make him king. He is already the king, and then as he lives and rules and carries out his work, he gathers his kingdom around him. That is certainly a different kind of king. So as you and I marvel at who this king is and what he does, then it's probably not surprising to us that if he's a different kind of king, that he rules a different kind of kingdom. Again, Seek the root of Jesse. Look forward to this amazing kingdom. Obviously, as you read this description, and we're about to read it again, as you think about it, we're not talking about an earthly kingdom. There is no mention of borders. There's no mention of boundaries or armies. There isn't any talk of legislation or royal edicts. In fact, the description of this kingdom is almost impossible to believe. He uses pictures that you and I say just simply cannot happen. You've got these natural enemies that are suddenly getting along. The wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat. The calf, the young lion, and the fattened calf together, and a little child will lead them. How does that even work? None of that makes sense. That is not how you and I experience things. You don't have prey and predator lying down together, getting along. If you've got prey and predator together, one's chasing the other until finally the one is devoured. You don't see their young lying down, eating together without any kind of hostility or fighting. And you certainly don't put a young child in the middle of all of that and expect him to lead them around. It's a mind-boggling picture, this kingdom that is coming. Things that were normally dangerous are now suddenly fine. The cow and the bear will graze together, and their young ones will lie down together. The lion will eat straw like the cattle. The nursing child will play near a cobra's hole, and the weaned child will put his hand into a viper's den. They will not hurt or destroy anywhere on my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Can you imagine it? This is a different kind of kingdom. Those natural dangers aren't going to be there anymore. Nobody in their right mind would think about taking their little baby and setting them right down beside the hole of a cobra. That does not make sense. Don't let your toddler go running around sticking his hand into the den of a viper's. That's dangerous. Parents, don't let that happen. And yet he uses these pictures that are the exact opposite of what you and I expect and what you and I experience to tell you about this kingdom that we look forward to. To tell you about this kingdom that we can't wait to come. This is a different kind of kingdom. Nothing is going to hurt and nothing is going to harm when that kingdom is finally established. How is that possible? It's possible because of this one characteristic. The knowledge of the Lord fills the earth. Just as the waters cover the sea, there's going to be that much knowledge covering God's earth. That's what makes it different. You think about how you and I live, and you think about what causes a lot of the hurt and the harm. A lot of the hurt and the harm that you and I have to deal with in this world comes because of me. Because of our own selfishness. Because I begin to think that it should be about what I want and what I think. And I'm not so much interested in what others need or what's in their best interest. I'm thinking only about what I need and what's in my best interest. And I'm actually willing to harm someone else if I think I can get it my way. That sin, that rebellion that shoves God off to the side, that uses other people for my own joys and my own contentment, and thinks that the things of this world are the most important things and those are the ones that I need to be running after. All of those things cause that hurt and that harm because we're focused only on ourselves. There is going to be no hurt or harm when that kingdom is established because suddenly the focus is not on me, but the knowledge of the Lord. All of a sudden, my relationships with other people, how does that give glory to God? The things that I have, how can I use that to praise my Lord who gives them to me? All of a sudden, the people who are around me, how can I support and encourage and build them up? Because now the knowledge of the Lord is what's guiding us and directing us and guiding that life. This is a different kind of kingdom, ruled by a different kind of king. Seek the root of Jesse. Get ready for that amazing arrival of this King. And so we do what that very last verse says. Seek that root of Jesse. He's the banner. He is the flag that is flying high, and all the troops rally to Him. We gather around this root of Jesse. We gather around who is the King, rejoicing in the fact that we're part of His kingdom. And we know that as we rally around Him and as we focus in on Him, that final place that He brings us to is perfect, peaceful rest. Seek the root of Jesse. This whole thing is somewhat refreshing, isn't it? Even though it's using pictures of a different kind of king and a different kind of kingdom than what you and I are used to, it's refreshing simply because it's different than what we're used to. Even though we're not living in a kingdom and we don't have a king, you get some of the pictures, especially as we now move into another time when we are going to be electing leaders. You're already starting to see some of the commercials. You're already starting to hear some of the things, and you know what's coming. In some ways, that's fine. We expect those things. We understand that those things need to be out there. Candidates need to explain who they are. They need to show how they're different than someone else so that as we get ready to vote, we can make our decision. Do I agree with this one or do I agree with this one? Which one kind of falls into the way that I would like to see things go? And yet sometimes it can be disgusting. Yes, sometimes it can be demoralizing. As you see all that positioning and jockeying for power going on. This king is different. This king did not come positioning himself and jockeying for power. In fact, look at what this king did. This king stepped into this world, and this king actually died for people who were not in his kingdom. He was willing to give himself up for those who were outside of his kingdom so that they could be brought into his kingdom. He was willing to take your place. He was willing to die your death. He was willing to take you from Satan's kingdom because you and I were born dead in sin and enemies of God. And He took us from sure and certain death and hell, and He brings us to this glorious resting place of this kingdom that we can't wait for. A different kind of kingdom, ruled by a different kind of king, and we rally around the root of Jesse. And we rejoice in what He has done for us. And so in Advent, we rejoice in these gospel promises. We look forward to that amazing kingdom, established when Jesus arrived in Bethlehem, and set for all of eternity when He comes to take you home. Seek the root of Jesse. Amen.